Hello and welcome back to the Baseball Aesthetic. It is Friday. We made it through the week. We got the weekend of lots of baseball, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. It's kind of a great time of the year right now. And it is the beginning of May, which means that summer is getting closer and closer. And what I wanted to take a look at is, you know, yesterday was May 1st. So I wanted to take a look at where we were on May 1st of 2024 to where we were at on May 1st of 2025. So looking at a difference of where we were at last year to the same time this year in the standings. And from May 1st of 24 through May 1st of this year, we're really close to the number of games that most teams have played. But looking back at the standings on May 1st of 2024, in the AL East, the Baltimore Orioles were leading that division with a record of 19-11. The Yankees were behind them at 20-12. Boston was 18-13. Toronto was 15-17, and Tampa Bay was 14-18. So looking at where we're at May 1st of this season, it's a little bit different here. The Yankees are leading that division with a record of 18-13. Boston is a game over 500 at 17-16. Toronto is a game under 500 at 15-16. Tampa is 14-17. And the Baltimore Orioles are 12-18 at the bottom of that division. So in 1 year span, Baltimore was leading that division with a record of 19-11, and now they are at the bottom of that division at 12-18. Obviously, still a ton of season to go, but a pretty stark difference from where the Orioles were May 1st of 2024 to where the Orioles are after May 1st of 2025. Still, only six games below 500 and a ton of games left to play. So we'll see how that division shakes out. It was a really competitive division last year. I think it's going to still be competitive as the season progresses here. I don't think the Orioles are going away anytime soon. I think they're going to still be in the mix in that division. And again, a lot of time, so plenty of time left for the Orioles. They just have gotten off to a slower start than I think a lot of people anticipated that they would. Looking at the Central, so in 2024, May 1st, Cleveland Guardians were leading that division with a record of 20-10. Kansas City was behind them at 19-13. The Tigers behind them at 18-13. Minnesota at 17-13, and the White Sox were at 6-25. So looking ahead to where we're at this year, the Detroit Tigers are leading the AL Central with a record of 20-12. The Cleveland Guardians behind them at 18-13. Kansas City, two games above 500 at 17-15. Minnesota Twins at 13-19. And the White Sox, a little bit more of an improvement than last year. They are 8-23. So they have a +2 win differential from where we were at on May 1st of 2024, where we're at now. So it's a minimal improvement, but any improvement is probably a welcome sound for Chicago White Sox fans. So the NL Central, another competitive division this season so far. Detroit's been great. Cleveland's been good. Kansas City, maybe a little bit slower start, but still two games above 500, very much alive in that division as well. I think Minnesota's maybe a little bit of a surprise of where they're at this year in that division, but again, only six games below 500, and there's a ton of season left. So AL Central is going to be real competitive again this season with the Tigers, with the Guardians, with the Royals, and I think the Twins aren't going away anytime soon. Looking out west, last season on May 1st, the Seattle Mariners were ahead in that division, 17-14 with a record. Texas Rangers were behind them at 16-15. The Oakland Athletics were 15-17. The LA Angels were 11-20, and the Astros were 10-20, 10 games below 500 on May 1st of 2024. Looking ahead to where we're at this season, the Mariners are still ahead in that division with a record of 18-12. Houston is two games above 500 at 16-14. The Athletics are two games above 500 at 17-15. And Texas Rangers are 500 at 16-16. And the LA Angels are 12-18. So the Mariners doing well. That's been maybe the biggest surprise team so far this season, with kind of where they were expected to be and where they're at now. So having a great end of the month of April and into May. We'll see how this continues on. The Athletics, though, it's good to see the Athletics above 500. It's been a while since it's probably been May 1st of a season, and the Athletics, or the now-defunct Oakland Athletics, they're just now the Athletics. So that organization, you know, a lot of times in May have not been above 500. So it's actually really great to see them two games above 500, you know, going into the beginning of May this season. Houston, I think, is going to be one of those teams that kind of sticks around in that division. But, you know, Seattle Mariners are kind of the hot team right now. So we'll see how this AL West plays out. But, you know, very similar to kind of where we were last season with the Mariners. Texas, I think, is one of those teams that is kind of hot and cold. So I think they're going to be in it till the end of the season as well in that AL West. Looking on the National League side, this is where the division shifts a little bit of where we were last season. So looking at the NL East, the Atlanta Braves were leading that division with a record of 20-9. The Phillies were 21-11. The Nationals were 500 at 15-15. The Mets were 500 at 15-15. And the Miami Marlins were 8-24. 1 year later, May 1st, 2025, the New York Mets are now 21-11 and leading that division. The Phillies are three games above 500 at 17-14. The Braves, after their really slow and bad start that they had, are now just two games below 500 at 14-16. The Nationals are 14-18, and the Miami Marlins are 12-18. So the Mets, looking back at May 1st of 2024 to now May 1st of 2025, they were 15-15 in 2024. Now they lead that division at 21-11. So significant difference from a year ago. They have the largest lead of any division leader in baseball. 3.5 games is the biggest gap between the first and second place teams in the division. So the Mets have been really great this season. I don't think it's much of a surprise. I mean, obviously, like, they had kind of an exciting end of the season last year. And then, obviously, adding Juan Soto has been great. So New York Mets are kind of have been in control of that division right now. And, you know, Phillies always going to be strong. The Braves are starting to kind of get back to where we thought the Braves would be. So I don't think the Braves are going away anytime soon, but the Mets continue to be a strong contender. Looking at the Central, the Milwaukee Brewers were leading the Central last season on May 1st with a record of 19-11. The Cubs were 19-12. The Reds were 16-15. The Cardinals were 14-17. And the Pirates were 14-18. So last May 1st, that division was pretty compact and everyone kind of right in that same spot. And very similar to this season, the Cubs are leading that division at 19-13. The Reds are 17-15. The Brewers are 16-16. The St. Louis Cardinals are 14-18. And the Pittsburgh Pirates are 12-20. So a couple, you know, different spots where the Cubs and Brewers kind of swapped a little bit there. But really, that division is still, I mean, really up for grabs. I mean, the Pittsburgh Pirates, you know, aren't predicted to win that division, but they're still not out of that division by any means. It's a very winnable division in baseball, and everyone's still kind of tight and clumped together. The Cubs have been great. The Cubs have been a really maybe a surprise this season so far. I think they're probably going into the season, most people probably picked the Chicago Cubs to take that division, with maybe a dark horse being the Cincinnati Reds. Milwaukee Brewers are always strong as well. And again, Brewers are still 16-16.500 on the season, and they always stick around in the NL Central. So that's going to come down, I think, to the last month of the season in that NL Central to see who takes that division and if there's a potential wild card coming out of that division. So NL Central, kind of similar to where it was last May of 2024. Out West, the Dodgers were 20-13. The San Diego Padres were two games below 500 at 16-18. The Giants were 14-17. The Diamondbacks were 14-18. And the Colorado Rockies were 7-23. So May 1st of 2024 to May 1st of 2025, all of the divisions are exactly in that same lineup. The Dodgers are leading the division at 21-10. The Padres are 19-11. The Giants are 19-13. The Diamondbacks are 17-14. And the Colorado Rockies are 6-25. So again, this is the probably looking at the standings, the most competitive division, because four out of the five teams are above 500. And that's the only division where all or four out of five teams are above 500. So Dodgers have been great. San Diego Padres have been really good as well. And surprisingly, the Giants are probably the dark horse team in that division. And unfortunately, Colorado is kind of slipping back a little bit. They are 6-24 this season. This time last year, the Chicago White Sox, who had the worst season in baseball last year, were 6-25 on May 1st of 2024. On May 1st of 2025, unfortunately, the Colorado Rockies are at that same number at 6-25 as those White Sox were. So that's unfortunate. I really wish that the Colorado Rockies were more competitive in that division. It's a great team. They got great uniforms. It's a great stadium. So unfortunately for Rockies fans, that is a very tough division this season, as it always is, it seems, out in the NL West. But hoping that the Colorado Rockies can turn it around a little bit and not be pushing towards what the White Sox did last season, is having one of the worst seasons in baseball. I hope this is not a trend for the Colorado Rockies as well. So looking at May 1st, 2024 to May 1st, 2025, I think it's been great for the Mets this season. Strong in that NL East. And then unfortunately in the AL East, Baltimore has swapped the places from where they were leading the division to now at the bottom of that division. But again, it's still a lot of time left in the season, so plenty of time for these pieces to kind of move around and for this division, both in the NL and the AL, to not look like what it does right now at all, as we get to more summer months and towards the end of the season. So I think May 1st gives us a good checkpoint of where we're at in the season so far. We've started the season at the end of March and gone all through April. So now we've gone officially 1 month and then a few extra days through the season. So looking at where we're at May 1st as that checkpoint of what's happening, where teams are, the good, the bad. And I think a really good thing has been the Detroit Tigers, 20-12. They're actually 13-3 at home. So tied with the Mets for the best home record. Interesting for the Detroit Tigers, though, is they are 7-9 on the road. So they're below 500. They're two games below 500 on the road, but with their great home record, so they're playing well up in Detroit at Comerica Park, it's given them that advantage to be leading the AL Central with that 20-12 record. And probably middle-ish above average of the road in offensive production. You know, they're not sticking out as someone who's hitting a ton of home runs and scoring a lot of runs, but, you know, they've been having some pretty good pitching and they're just winning. And I think they're winning at home. That's really helping their record right now. So Detroit Tigers have been maybe a somewhat of a surprise, but a very positive of where we're at now on May 1st of the season. I think Tigers fans should be excited about where this team is, and maybe they're overperforming just a little bit, but that might just be where they're at this season. So I think the Detroit Tigers are a fun and exciting team this season so far. Looking at the Mets, had the biggest turnaround from May 1st of 2024 to May 1st of 2025. 21-11 on the season so far, and they are tied with the Tigers for the best home record in baseball, 13-3. So Detroit Tigers and the New York Mets have the best home record, and the New York Mets are 500 on the road, 8-8 in away games. So I think, you know, again, like the Detroit Tigers, is they're getting a lot of production at home. They're doing well getting the wins at home. If they can continue to get some wins on the road, I think it's really going to help, you know, kind of pad that lead that they have in the NL East. They are fifth in strikeouts, so they're not striking out a ton. This is offensive strikeouts, 239 total strikeouts, so fifth out of 30 teams, so that's good. They're not striking out a ton. I think with the addition of Juan Soto, I think that's one of the things that, you know, could have been a factor in the Mets is how teams pitch, you know, around Soto and those things. But they're doing good so far. Fifth in strikeouts. They've scored 150 runs and they've given up 98 runs. So they have a plus 52 run differential. And they've still only given up 16 home runs, which is the fewest in baseball so far. And they've gotten 303 strikeouts from their pitchers. So pitching and defensively been great. Striking out a lot of opposing teams, not giving up the home run. Again, 16 home runs so far in 32 games. That's a pretty good stat there that they're having for the Mets. So, you know, above average offensively, but doing just enough, getting the wins at home, not giving up home runs, getting lots of strikeouts from their pitchers. It's been well for the Mets, and I think they're going to continue. I think Juan Soto is going to continue to hit. It's just going to be probably an exciting year for the New York Mets in there. The Chicago Cubs. Definitely offensive stats are sticking out a little bit. They've scored the most runs in baseball, 192 total runs, which is 15 more than the second place team, which is the New York Yankees, and 25 more than the third place team, which is the Los Angeles Dodgers. So obviously in the NL, so looking at the NL, they are plus 25 in their run differential over that next place team, the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're first in hits with 298 total hits. They're third in home runs with 46 home runs. They are third in walks, offensively walks drawn, at 128 total walks. First in stolen bases, 44 stolen bases and only 6 caught steals. They have an 88% success rate in stolen bases. Second in average at 264. And oddly enough, they are 17th ranked in number of runs given up. So they've given up 140 runs, which they've scored a ton of runs. They lead in the runs produced offensively. But they, you know, it's not like they aren't giving up a decent amount of runs. So kind of middle of the road there for the runs given up. But Cubs have been a surprise, I think, of how just their offensive production and what they're getting out of their offensive production. It makes sense that why they're still leading the NL Central, and I think they're going to be around for the whole season in the NL Central. I think they're the team to beat. You know, offensively, it's been well for the Cubs. So Cubbies fans are probably feeling pretty good about where we're at on May 1st of 2025. Kansas City only has hit 15 total home runs this season. So they are minus 6 home runs hit behind the 29th ranked team. So Kansas City is ranked 30 out of 30 in home runs hit with 15. And they are minus 6 behind the 29th team, Toronto Blue Jays. Just for reference here, the Pittsburgh Pirates have hit 24 home runs, and the Chicago White Sox have hit 25 home runs. So definitely not as many home runs coming from that Royals side, but, you know, they're still alive in the AL East. You know, they are, or I'm sorry, the AL Central, still alive in the AL Central, two games above 500. So, you know, the record's not necessarily bad in this sense. It's not contributing to anything negative in that, but just an interesting stat that, you know, the Royals, of the games they've played, have only hit 15 home runs, but still sit two games above 500. The Seattle Mariners are first in walks drawn. So they have drawn 134 total walks offensively, and they are eighth in RBIs, 144 on the season. They've been probably the surprise of with what their expectations were offensively. I know that was kind of the question mark. Pitching's been great. They play in a ballpark that's hard to hit in. That's a big ballpark. So that's been their advantage. But I think they're surprising right now with their 18-12 record, because they're getting a little bit more of that offensive production that wasn't anticipated. Getting a ton of walks, getting on base, that's obviously helping to lead, you know, where they're at in the upper third of that RBI category. So surprise out west for the Seattle Mariners. So hopefully they can keep up this pace, and they look like they, you know, could be a team that is going to be winning that division, or at least competing for that wild card as the season goes along. But obviously a lot of season left. So we got another great weekend of baseball. I hope you watch as many games as you can and enjoy it. And until next time, we'll catch you later.